Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Good evening. This is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. And we are going through the book of Colossians. And we've reached a fascinating passage. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. Before we get into the text, let's pray. Father in heaven, Father of lights and of glory, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit to open our spiritual eyes and ears to the wonders of your word and the wonders of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and for whom are all things. Open up our minds to this passage, but also to Jesus. Blessed be your name. Amen. So, let's read the passage, this magnificent passage of Scripture, which ties into so many other passages of Scripture. Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Now we find the Jesus of Colossians, the Jesus of Ephesians, the Jesus of Revelation, the ascended Lord Jesus Christ, who is our high priest in Hebrews. This is a very different Jesus to the one that we see in idols and paintings, who has a sheep over his shoulder, a man with beard and sandals. Yes, Jesus had a body and still has a body. He died on the cross. He rose bodily from the dead. He ascended bodily into heaven. And he is both fully God and fully man. And so much today, we believe in Jesus as fully man. But we don't grasp. We don't really grasp how much Jesus is fully God. And let's look at that. Let's look at the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at Jesus as the creator of all things and how his word upholds the universe. Because otherwise you're going to live in bondage and fear to spirits and to kings and to relatives and to other people that are persecuting you. And you're going to be afraid of the devil. But the devil should be afraid of Jesus, because Jesus is going to bind him with a chain and throw him into the lake of fire. Because Jesus is the heir of all things. He inherits everything. The entire universe was made for Jesus. All things, both visible and invisible, spiritual and material, thrones and authorities, they're all made for Jesus. Let's go back to the passage here in Colossians chapter 1. And here's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created. You see, all the things that were created, whether they be lions or lambs, mountains or valleys, whether they be spiritual or material, whether it be an eagle or a dolphin, they were all created by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word of God, the Logos of God, and the reason and intelligence of this universe. You see, Jesus is fully God. He existed before the universe existed. That's what it says in verse 17, and he is before all things. So Jesus, the Son of God, is part of the Trinity. He is part of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus just didn't appear 2,000 years ago in Israel. Jesus has always been. He was in there in the beginning with God. and he is the image of the invisible God. So we have God the Father on the throne, who is invisible to us at the moment because of our sin, but who we will behold face to face in glory. So that Heavenly Father is invisible, and 1 John tells us that no one has seen the Heavenly Father at any time. But God decided to make himself visible in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the image of the invisible God and the exact representation of his nature, so that Jesus could say, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Let's go over to Hebrews, and we're going to look at a parallel passage over in the book of Hebrews. So it's Timothy's and Titus and Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. And the writer of Hebrews is battling people who believed in angels and thought that Jesus was just another angel or something like that. And so here in the first four verses of the book of Hebrews, we find a parallel passage that will help us to understand Colossians. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he, that's Jesus, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he, Jesus, had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. So here we see Jesus as God. He upholds all things by the work of his power, and he is the exact image, the exact representation of the nature of God. So if you want to know who God is, you've got to look at Jesus. Jesus is kind, therefore God is kind. Jesus forgives and asks for us to be forgiven, so God is interested in forgiveness and reconciliation. Jesus does miracles, so God himself does miracles. Jesus is love because God is love. And when we behold Jesus, we behold the Father. It says, not as if they were opposed, as if the Father is old and angry and cranky and is running round the universe throwing thunderbolts at people and Jesus comes along and placates him. That is a wrong view of God. Jesus and the Father are one. If you see Jesus, you see the Father. He's the exact image and representation of God. Jesus is the perfect image of God. Let's turn back to Colossians, where we were earlier. And we'll go back and we'll see that Jesus is the heir of all things, which we saw in Hebrews, and that he is the inheritor of the universe, which was made by him and for him. And so this is Jesus' universe. He is the firstborn of all creation, which means he is the senior heir. He inherits everything. He inherits every planet, every galaxy, every sun, every star, every comet, every asteroid. Everything in all creation is inherited by Jesus because he is the firstborn heir of all things. And he is not ashamed to call us his brothers and his sisters and the children of God. And we walk with Jesus. And if we walk with Jesus and if we suffer with Jesus, we become co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We share the inheritance that Jesus has gained from the Father. And by grace, we come into an inheritance and a reward because Jesus is the firstborn, and then we're the born-again ones. We are the firstborn of all creation, the first of God's creatures, the first fruits of the redemptive work of God. And we are the church, and we are his body. And where the head goes, the body goes. And what the head inherits, the body inherits. And so we share in the inheritance of Jesus Christ. And it says here, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth. Let's get a little more about that. We'll go over to John's Gospel now. And John introduces Jesus Christ as the heavenly word, the Logos, the reason. And he tells us that before there was a creation, there was an intelligence. And that intelligence was Jesus, the wisdom of God and the word of God. This creation has not been made out of ignorance. It has not been made out of randomness. It's been made out of the divine intelligence of God, who was Jesus Christ, our Savior. So Jesus made the laws of the universe. Let's look at John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being by him, and apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so we jump down now to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were not born of blood or the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we find that Jesus is the creator of all things. All things came into being by him, or were made by him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And so he was in the beginning with God. Jesus was there before the universe. He was there before the rocks and the trees. He is the wisdom of God that created all things, and he will inherit all things, which is only right and proper. God himself, the Father, created a universe as a gift to his beloved Son. And he created all things in that universe, and the universe rebelled against him. And there was a journey, a terrible spiritual journey, that Jesus undertook to come to this earth and start to redeem it, to reconcile all things to himself. He needed to bring back the universe to God. It had wandered away. It had become polluted. It had become broken by sin. It had become afflicted with a terrible curse, and no one could do work and see any prosperity. The world in darkness was full of poverty, was full of pain, and full of the afflictions of the demons. And Jesus came to undo the work of the devil. He came to restore creation to himself. He came to make everything magnificent and restore it to glory. So the glory of God would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. But first he had to deal with sin. And he went to the cross, and he bore our sins. And he wiped out the handwriting that was against us. And he took away the powers of the devil to accuse us. And he broke every curse in our life, because on the cross he became a curse for us. That's Galatians 3:10-14. So Jesus, the wisdom of God, became flesh. He became the very image of God dwelling among us, and we did not know him. We were incapable of seeing the wisdom of God because our minds were broken by sin. And we didn't understand what was happening. But to those who did believe, and to you who believe, you will become a son or a daughter of the living God. He will give you the power to become a spiritual being known as a child of God. And you will inherit the universe with Jesus Christ. And he has this universe prepared for you. He has an inheritance prepared for you. It's not just about this life, though this life is important. There is an inheritance after this life. And you can enter into that inheritance and you can have joy. No matter what your circumstances now, you can enter into the inheritance of God and have joy. There's a terrible story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, about a beggar who sat at the rich man's gate year after year after year and did not get a single crumb or a single bit of help. And the beggar dies and he goes and he is rewarded. He is in Abraham's bosom, whereas the selfish rich man is cast down into the fires of hell and into torment. You see, it's not about what happens to us in this life. Your faith is not indicated by your prosperity. Rather, your faith is indicated by the degree to which you obey God during the trials and tribulations of this age. And our trials work for us patience, and patience character, and character hope, for the hope of God does not disappoint. And your hope is to be in heaven and in Jesus and in your heavenly future and in your heavenly inheritance, which God has prepared beforehand. So the beggar had a heavenly inheritance. He was in Abraham's bosom. He was comforted. While the rich man had no heavenly inheritance. In fact, he was cast down to the pit of hell. And we need to keep our mind on the inheritance that Jesus has prepared for us. He says, I go to my Father's house, in which there are many mansions, many flats, many places, to prepare a place for you. And Jesus is preparing a place for you right now. Jesus is doing things for you today. He is washing you with his blood. He's cleansing you from your sins, and he's preparing a place in heaven for you because Jesus is God. Jesus is in charge of heaven. He's in charge of the angels. They all bow before him, And he has said, go prepare a place over there for this, my saint over here, for John and for Peter and for Andrew and for all the people in Africa and all those other people over there. Prepare a place for them. Make a home for my sister in the Lord over here. Make a home for my brother in Christ over there. And Jesus is preparing a home and a place for us in our inheritance in heaven. And he's directing the angels how to do that. And soon he's going to return. And this earth will be brought into the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And this is a mighty work of God that is constantly taking place. Jesus is at work. Let's go to Ephesians now. And we'll go back to Colossians soon. But we're going to skip over to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 23, talking about the great power of Jesus in our life. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So God destined that Jesus would become the head of the church. He would become the fullness of all things, and the fullness of God would dwell in Jesus. And Jesus is now the fullness of God. And it says in Colossians 2 verse 9, that in him dwells the fullness of deity bodily. So Jesus is the fullness of God in bodily form, the image of God, the exact representation of God. And God has taken his son, and he said that he is now the name above every name, and he has put him at God's right hand in the heavenly realms, and far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. So you are in Christ, and Christ is above every name that is named. Christ is above all rule and authority and power and dominion. So what's our relationship to Jesus, who is God? And it says in verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're seated right now in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is above all the demonic powers and principalities. So you are also. You have the authority of the name of Jesus to cast down all demons, all powers, all principalities that come against you, because Jesus is God and you are in God. And so you are now in Christ. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, and you can rebuke every demon and every curse that comes against you. And you can come to God and you say, God, Jesus Christ, come and rebuke these demons for me. This one's too tough for me. You go and deal with it. Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the heir of all things. He has authority over everything visible and invisible. He has authority over storms, and he has authority over demons and can cast them out. And through the power that is in Jesus, who is in God, you can cast out demons just as the early Christians did, just as Jesus did, just as Jesus trained the apostles to do also. So Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We're back in Colossians chapter 1. He's also the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Jesus is the preeminence. He is the firstborn from the dead. He has risen, and we will rise because he has risen. And he is the preeminent one in the heavenly realms. He is the Lamb upon the throne, and all the angels and elders in heaven bow down before the name of Jesus, because Jesus has preeminence in everything. Obviously, he should have preeminence to you as well. The will of the Lord Jesus Christ should be the number one thing in your life. Jesus should be the number one thing in your life. He is to have first place in everything. You can't give Jesus second place. You should give Jesus first place in your work, your family, and your church. He is the leader of the church, and we are just servants of God. And as a Bible teacher, I know that the Holy Spirit leads the church, and I just teach the word and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do, because Jesus has preeminence in everything. Verse 19 now, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. So God took all the fullness of God and put it in Jesus in bodily form. Let's go over to Colossians 2:9 just for a moment here. It says, "For in him," that's in Jesus, "all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." Jesus is not an angel. He is the fullness of God in bodily form. He is fully God and he is fully man. And you need to decide that Jesus is God, that Jesus existed before all things and all things were made through him and for him. You need to decide that Jesus is not just a prophet, that Jesus is God, that those who have seen Jesus have seen the Father. You need to decide right now that Jesus is not just some religion, he's not some sentimental being that we sing songs about, that Jesus is your Lord as well as your Savior. And it goes on in Colossians, it says, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." So what's Jesus doing at the moment? He's in heaven, he's the high priest, and he's reconciling all things to himself through the blood of the cross. Obviously, all things are not reconciled to Jesus yet. There's still rebellion, there's still wickedness, there's still evil. So how do we get reconciled to God? We repent of our sins, and we believe in Jesus, and then we walk in his commandments and we're reconciled to God. As we believe in Jesus, we place our faith in him, we let the blood of the cross work in us, we are reconciled to God, and we walk out that reconciliation by obeying God. We are at peace with God, and then now we're at peace with God, we're able to obey his commandments. Before, we were living in rebellion. Our minds were hostile to God. But now our mind is not hostile to God. We're reconciled to God, and we are at peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mind is at peace with God. We get a renewed mind through the Lord Jesus Christ, a renewed heart. We are one with God. We are okay with God. We are justified and we are sanctified and we are glorified. And God wants you in heaven. He wants you to be at peace with God. He wants you to believe in God. He wants you to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your forgiveness and for your reconciliation. And the reconciliation is not just for you personally, as for all things on heaven and on earth, all powers and thrones and dominion. So God is taking all the fierce and evil things of the world, the cruel and terrible things, and he is reducing them to nothing through the cross. And he's taking fierce and terrible people and getting them to repent and getting them reconciled to God. So bit by bit, the world is changing. The world has been reconciled to God, and all the fierce and terrible and wicked structures of the world are slowly but surely being tamed over the periods of thousands of years. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ that is doing this. No human organizational structure can do what the blood of Jesus is doing. We try and reconcile nations and tribes to one another through human processes, and it doesn't work. But in the church, we can find people of many tribes and nations and various things. And in the church that I attend, we have people from almost every tribe and tongue and nation. And they get along well because the blood of Jesus Christ makes them one and reconciles them to one another. So there is neither Jew nor Greek nor any other nationality. We are all one in Christ Jesus, and we leave behind our national identities, my Australian identity or an American identity or an Indonesian identity or a tribal identity or a Ugandan identity or whatever. And we are all one in Christ Jesus, and we need to be reconciled to one another through the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we worship Jesus together, as white people, as African people, as Indian people and Asian people all worship together, we can get reconciled to one another. And we need to be open to that reconciliation. We need to be open to one another, whether we're rich or poor, to be reconciled through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are all part of God's body. We're all part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head, and we are the part of the body, the church. Someone might be a toe, another person a finger, another person an eye or an ear, but we all have a function in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the body is to be one. It's not to be uncoordinated. So we, as part of God's church, we're to be reconciled to one another through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, things in heaven or things on earth. The heavenly realms at one point were a violent mess. And through the cross of the Jesus Christ, they were reconciled to God. And the demons one day are going to be cast out of heaven. They're going to become cast onto this earth. There'll be a big battle of Armageddon. And then finally, they'll be thrown down into the pit, into the lake of fire. And the world will be cleansed. And those spiritual beings that have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, they will be reconciled to God. And that's all invisible to us. We just get glimpses of it in the book of Revelation. So Jesus is prior to all things. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is God, is fully God and fully man, and the fullness of deity in bodily form. So this is the Jesus that we're talking about now, a different Jesus to the one that we often see in sermons. This is the Jesus who existed before the worlds were made, and that all things were made by him and for him. The universe exists for the Son of God, exists for Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of God in bodily form. This is very difficult for us to comprehend, but it will make all the difference to your life when you grasp these verses, that Jesus is exactly like God. He's the image of God. He is the very exact representation of God, and you can trust God because you can trust Jesus. God is not different in nature from Jesus. God is love, and Jesus is love. God is a Savior, and Jesus is a Savior. God wants you in heaven with him, and Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And God wants to seek and to save the lost. If you feel lost now, put your trust in Jesus and say, Jesus, I choose to believe in you. I choose to believe that my sins were forgiven on the cross. I choose to believe that you are fully God and fully man. I choose to believe that you will inherit all things. And cast your trust on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do not trust in yourself or in money or in witchcraft or in demons or in powerful people. Trust in Jesus because he is before all things and holds all things together by the word of his power. God is God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is our high priest in the heavenly realms. He is working powerfully throughout the world to reconcile all things to himself. And he will return and he will judge the world and he will judge both the living and the dead, and he will separate the righteous from the wicked. He will separate those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior from those who rebel against him. And you need to get right with Jesus. Jesus is very powerful. Jesus is the Son of God, and all things were made by him and for him. And you need to pray and say, Lord Jesus, reconcile me to you right now. Make me your brother or sister. Make me a son of God, and take me into your heavenly realms where you have a place prepared for me. We pray this now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Be blessed. This is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. Hi. That was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.